Hello, and welcome to The Writing Forge, where we discuss tips and tricks for honing your writing. I'm Bonnie.
I'm Miranda.
And we're your hosts.
Let's get into it.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we've got Cameron Sutter with us, and we're going to talk about story structures, which will be fun. But first, Cameron, introduce yourself. Let us know how you got to where you are today in the writing world.
Yeah, hi, I'm Cameron Sutter. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me. So I've been writing since I was little. I remember in first grade, I was writing during English class, and the teacher came over and like hit my hands with the ruler, which I always thought was funny because in English class, you'd think, you know, kid is writing a story. Isn't that great? You know, but I understand, you know, I wasn't paying attention. So that was my first great story in first grade, you know. But then in seventh and eighth grade, I wrote my first novel, which probably was like, I have no idea how long it was. It's probably like a novella.
Don't have it anymore.
No, I lost the files of it. It was back when like things were on floppy disks and I saved the floppy disk, but I have no idea where they are now. And I don't think I have anything to get into them anymore either. And then, so I've been on and off writing my whole life. At the end of college, I took a class by Brandon Sanderson, his creative writing class in BYU. And that got me excited about writing again. I published a few books after that again. And while I was doing that, I was in this writing group at my job where I was a software engineer. And we were trying to, I don't know, imagine what the best tool for our process would be, because it was I hated my process anyway. So then I started making my own tool, and that turned into Plotter, which is a tool that's gaining renown, I guess, or becoming more well known in writing circles. And so that's where I am today. I still try and write, but I made Plotter, and that's what probably got me here. Not my writing, that's for sure.
Nice. Yeah, we'll put a link to that in the episode description.
Definitely. I've played around on it, and it is a very extensive tool and is very helpful if I used plots.
Ah, you pantser. Well, we're going to talk about that. We will talk about that. So let's talk about structure relevant with plotting. First, opening question. Lob the softball. Why is structure important for effective storytelling?
Yeah, that is a great question, actually. So one of the things that I say a lot, and I should have had these notes pulled up because I say it often enough, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but story structure has kind of three important things, I think. And one is it just helps you not have plot holes, like these kind of big overarching plot holes, right? It also sets the expectations for the reader or helps you make sure you hit the expectations that the reader already has. And it makes sure that your characters are, it helps you to make sure that your characters are relatable and that they have a satisfying character arc. So I think that's why it's really important. And story is like so deeply human, and it's so just something that's so much a part of how we learn and how we love to tell stories. And so these structures are kind of, it's not like, oh, we made these structures to write good stories. We started telling stories and then we realized a lot of these are similar, you know, they have this structure to them.
Like the Campbellian monomyth, which the first time I heard that word, I thought it was going to be some kind of like cool monster, but no, it's just the hero's journey. Anyway.
Yeah, it does sound a lot cooler.
Right, right.
It probably is.
But I like that how two of your points related to endings. I'm actually teaching a class for Writing Heights at the end of February, and my like stated thing that I was going to talk about was story structure, and then the name of my class is Writing a Satisfying Ending. And at first, like a couple other people on the leadership team were like, "Weren't you talking about structure?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm talking about structure. Like that's how you write a satisfying ending, is by having structure."
Exactly.
So. All right. So, Miranda, our pantser, I don't know about you, Cameron. I assume not, actually, since you made a plotting tool, you're probably a planner.
I'm actually in the...
Trying to be now.
Sorry, I'm actually in the middle.
Yeah,
pantser. I've been back and forth, and I found my process is kind of sweet spot in the middle. So, sorry, go ahead.
Well, you
were
going
to ask something.
So my question is, I think it's fairly obvious how a planner is going to use structure, because they'll plan it out ahead of time. And we will talk a little bit about specific structures. But first, like, how can a pantser use structure, or a planter? But say you don't want to sit down and say, I'm using the 7-point formula. I just want to write my story and then figure it out later.
So how I tend to use it is because inevitably as a as a pantser, as someone flying by the seat of my pants and just out here wild westing it, I tend to get lost very easy and I tend to get stuck and it can be a problem. And so what I will then do is turn to story structure and be like, okay, so narratively, what is supposed to happen next? Like, okay, so, you know, I'm about a third of the way through. So according to, you know, the Hollywood formula, I am supposed to be in the middle of fun and games. So are we having fun or are we playing games? Are we fulfilling the premise for the promise of premise? There we go. I've got it. It's in there somewhere. And so are we fulfilling that? Are we doing that? And then I kind of use it as like a checklist for when I get lost. Like
a tool. Use it as like a diagnostic tool partway through.
Yeah, diagnostic tool. I don't like to listen to Google Maps. I'm sure that's a surprise to everyone who knows me. It's like, oh, okay, you want me to take the highway again? Nah. I think this weird back county road sounds great. And then I wind up in the middle of a field. And then I'm like, okay,
fine.
Google, help me back out of this. And so that tends to be how I use story structure. Is to help find me back at least to a road so that way I can stop trampling this poor farmer's corn. So
great metaphor. I like that. I actually hadn't thought about using it in the middle.
Yeah, I've found that a lot of people that are pantsers, when they use it in like the editing process, so it sounds like that's kind of what you do, but also when you're looking at first draft, then you kind of layer on top of that the story structure and say, did I hit some of these points or are there any points that kind of follow this and do I need to rearrange some? Or it kind of helps you to stay on track with making those powerful endings and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's definitely, yeah. You can finish your whole book and then go back. I like what you said, layer it on, make it fit.
And then you as a combo person, I assume, and feel free to correct me, that you kind of take like the major points and then write to those?
Yes and no. So that I had this interesting experience late last year when I was trying to write a story. It's funny, I made a tool for writing stories and then for a long time I didn't write very much. And I was, so I'm getting back into writing and it felt really good. And I was writing my story and I was kind of pantsing the outline of it. Like I wasn't writing the story, but I was trying to figure out the story as it went while writing. I was putting it in plotter, which is not really an outline. It's more like a visual outline of it. So I was putting it in there and I was kind of getting stuck. And I'm like, I kind of see the ending. I see where like some important points lie. So to your point that I could kind of see some important points in the future of where the story should go, but I was kind of stuck how to get there. And then I'm like, oh yeah, plotter has these templates of these story structures in there. So I've layered that on top of my story and all of a sudden I just started flying. And like by the end of that hour, I'd planned my whole story. And I was like, how could I, the creator of this tool, be having this experience?
Not have.
I've been telling people for years how to do this. And then I didn't drink my own, take my own medicine, you know?
Yeah.
And so then when I did, I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And so I was really embarrassed. And I use that as a story because it is embarrassing, but it shows you that even I'm an idiot. But but it was really helpful. So I can't remember what your question was, but yes, I kind of have those points, but also the story structure just really help when you get stuck.
Yeah, agreed. And that's kind of related to what I found as a planner, like having the story structure ahead of time. It helps me when I get stuck. Like sometimes I even like will skip. I'm like, well, somehow in here I need to do this part, but I don't want to do that right now. So let's just go to the next. Oh, look, the next thing is the midpoint. So how am I going to midpoint this? But so we've name dropped quite a few story structures, but maybe we can just talk about some of our favorites. Like how many are in plotter that you can layer out like that?
There's almost 40.
Oh, wow.
Actually.
Okay. So there's a lot out there.
I didn't know that many existed before,
until you
before
started
trying to find them.
Gathering them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I see in your list some that I've never heard of before. So the Hollywood formula, I've never heard of that one. The 7.1 I did hear about, I've used that one. I think that one's a plotter. But what's the Hollywood formula?
I think that's Save the Cat, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think they're similar. I haven't actually read the Save the Cat book. Don't tell anyone.
I have given you the spark notes.
You have,
I gave
it's true.
I gave you the spark notes for your presentation.
and maybe Hollywood formula is a bit, it might be a little bit broader than what plotter would do anyway, because it's the thing that I remember out of it the most, the thing that I really like about it, and I know it's way more than this, but it's just the three important characters are like the protagonist and the antagonist and the relationship character and how they circle around each other throughout the plot and how you need to have the relationship character. And that doesn't mean someone they're in a relationship with, but it's the person who helps them realize what they need to do to overcome the plot.
So that could be an actual relationship.
Yeah.
It could be a mentor. It could be it's whoever the main B character is.
Yeah, exactly. I find that often that can be if you're having a problem figuring out how to resolve a conflict, like your main climax or whatever, you got to figure out who the relationship character is and how can they help the protagonist get to what they need so that they can finish off the bad guy or, you know, solve whatever the problem is. I know there is more to the Hollywood formula than that. That's just the part I like about it the most.
Yeah, I wasn't testing you. I wasn't.
No. I feel bad for not having done my research better too.
No, that's really interesting. Yeah, of course, the hero's journey. Everybody knows that one. That's a big one. Some of the other ones that I'm looking at here, there's some that are really obscure that I'd never heard of, like the Fichtean curve. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right.
I've heard of that.
Freytag's pyramid.
I have heard of that.
Yeah. Then there's like the story circle. That's another popular one. The take off your pants, which is a play on the being a pantser.
Oh, okay.
That's a very interesting one.
I was like, is that erotica something? Or,
that's what I thought too at first.
It's not the snowflake method, but it's kind of like along a similar vein where you start kind of small and then build out from there, isn't it? It's been a long time since I've read that book.
It has been a while since I looked at that one too. But then there's like genre specific ones like mystery. There's a 12-step mystery formula. There's a sleuth's journey, actually.
Nice.
And then we've got a bunch of like romance ones. So the romance beat sheet, romancing the beat, the seven romantic comedy beats. Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
That's a really popular one.
Yeah.
And we've Plotter, we've got even like these weird ones, like making a limerick or a sonnet or a haiku, ones like that. Just they're kind of fun and playful, you know. But yeah, there's so many structures out there, and it's if you try and learn all about each one, you know, it's almost counterproductive.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't need to know all of them. Almost all stories follow a very similar pattern, and so once you find one that works for you, it's kind of like just stick with that one. There's more out there, but you don't need to know all of those. They're all very similar. Just if you find one that's good for you, go with that one.
Right, yeah.
Or that's good for the story.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. Good for the story. I sort of discovered that in 2019 for NaNoWriMo, I decided that was the first time I tried plotting, and it made it so much easier. Made writing so much easier. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to steal the plot of The Swan Princess. And so I watched the movie, but while I had my 7-point formula over on the side and I wrote down where I felt it matched those things. And I highly doubt that the makers of that movie were using the 7-point. Maybe they were. But they were probably using, you know, like the 3-act formula or something, right? But I was able to map it to the 7-point one because a lot of these structures do have a lot of similarities, because that's what humans, at least in the Western culture, find satisfying.
Yeah, I've seen somebody do the same thing with the Harry Potter, the first book, and one other that I don't have on the top of my head, but yeah, it's interesting, right? How they didn't write with that. I'm sure they didn't write with the 7-point plot structure, but it fits, it works.
All right, so here's an important question, and this might help ease the pantsers in our midst as well. But
I'm so hard right now. You don't even know.
How do you maintain flexibility even while using a structure? Because I think sometimes discovery writers will feel like, well, I don't want to use a plot because I don't want to be limited. I don't want to be locked in. And on the other hand, some plotters like me might want to be locked in, but it's not great to necessarily
be in lockstep.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we be flexible while also using these structures in a satisfying way?
Well, one of the things that come to mind when you ask that is, I think that's kind of the, I don't know what word I'm looking for here, but that is one of the artistic parts about writing. And it's like twisting, giving the reader a twist that they didn't expect. And so, yeah, it's great to follow those structures. And those set the emotional expectations for the reader. And they're like, okay, you know, the reader's mentor is going to die. The hero's mentor is going to die. Yep, he died. I knew it. You know, like I called that from last scene, you know, something like that. There's expectations that the reader expects. But then when you throw in just a little bit of a twist there, it gives this really powerful experience for the readers because they think they know what's going to happen and it doesn't happen exactly how they want it to. And if you do it too far off their expectations, then it's just like they have no more expectations and they have no idea what to expect. And it could be a bad experience. So if you go too far off the rails, yes. Yeah. They might just close it like this is trash. So it a lot of artistry comes in that, like knowing the structure, but knowing when to not follow the rules. And I love that. I'm still trying to learn how to do that. Right. And every book is going to be different. Every writer is going to do it differently. But I think that's one of the awesome things about being a writer is that you can do it however you want. There's rules that you can or can't, you can follow or you don't have to, but if you twist them a little bit, you give this really cool experience. Have you found that in your own writing or do you try and do that at all?
I think the main rule for me is satisfaction overall. Mm. Like, so say there's story structure. Let's be honest, if I'm even following it to begin with.
We didn't cover what your favorite one is. But
What my favorite one is?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I have a favorite.
That's okay. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
That's all right. No worries. You did interrupt it.
I know. I'm sorry.
We're off the rails. So I think following a story structure, again, if I'm following one at all, it's important to maybe not necessarily, because I know some story structures, especially like Save the Cat, X thing is supposed to happen on X page. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry so much about trying to make it fit into a certain page count as worrying about just making it a satisfactory journey the entire time. Because I've seen some very notable exceptions. I couldn't name them off the top of my head, but I've definitely read about them in craft books and stuff where someone spent probably the first 50% of the book in like what is supposed to be the first 10% of the story according to any story structure. But because it was satisfactory and because it was all set up, they were then able to move into knocking down that line of dominoes and everything just followed suit and fell down and hit in a very satisfactory way and gave the ending a lot of punch because they were able to line everything up and then snowball it. And so when it comes to flexibility, like acknowledge the structure, it's definitely there or definitely should be there at some point.
Yeah.
But also, like, the main purpose is to be entertaining or to reach your audience in the manner that you would like them to be reached or to give very in-depth characters. Like, whatever your reason for writing your book is, that should trump anything overall. Yeah. That should trump any structure so long as it's satisfactory.
I was just thinking, you brought up the hero's journey and the mentor dying. I think one of the ways to be flexible is like, what matters there is that the hero is suddenly on their own. You don't have to literally kill the mentor in order to make the plot move forward, right? There are a lot of other ways that the mentor can be out of the hero's life. And so finding what matters about this bit of structure is this. How can I accomplish that? Maybe not in exactly the way that the structure calls for. So sort of digging down to the underneath level.
Yeah, and always making sure it's satisfactory, like you were saying. One thing that Brandon Sanderson always said for his own books, he errs on the side of awesomeness.
Yes.
Like if he's not sure if something, should I go this way or that way? Which one's more awesome? Let's go that way, you know? So
rule of cool.
Yeah. I was just reading, I'm in the middle of reading P. Jelly Clark's, it's called A Benny's Song. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Actually, I think I am because he put pronunciation in the book anyway, which I always appreciate. And it actually just had a more unique way of dealing with the mentor being gone. Because I had that same thing where I was reading, I was like, oh, we're about to hit the mentor's death. Oh, yep. And there we go. And then I was like, oh, but it's a little bit different. Okay. And so, you know, finding things like that, it was satisfying because I was able to know it was coming, but it was also a little bit different. And so I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What book was that you said you were reading?
A Benny's Dream. Yeah.
A Benny's Dream. Okay, cool.
I really like P. Jelly Clark. Side note, he wrote, I was looking it up the other day and the list of adjectives describing it is alternate history, fantasy, steampunk universe that he has. It's set in like Cairo in the 1920s, but magic is there. So super cool. Anyway, but I was like, I should read some of his other stuff. So I picked
sounds
up this
real
one.
Cool.
No, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're out of time, unfortunately. But
that went fast.
I know. It does. It goes fast.
But thank you so much for joining us today, Cameron.
Yeah, it's been so great. So been so great to talk to you about story and how, I don't know, how to write better stories. I always love talking about that.
Structure is important.
It is.
So for our listeners, since we've know there's 40 in Plotter and there's probably many more out there, what's your favorite story structure or one of them? Teach us about it so that we can see if it might be a good fit for us. Share with us on our socials.
Stay sharp, my friends.
To learn more about The Writing Forge, check out our social links in the episode description. Subscribe to The Writing Forge wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to rate and review. For more informational writing content, be sure to become a Writing Heights member.